class. Today's horrible lesson is about something horrible. Open your horrible textbooks to page 2038.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
As the storm clouds gather in the heartland, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and whether you like it or not, we are here. Friday, June the 19th of 2009, and boy, there are lots of things to talk
about.
Yeah,
and I'm not even speaking metaphorically, by the way, about this stuff we're going to talk about. There really are storm clouds gathering out there, so we're going to knock this out before we get knocked
before
off the
Sam
air. With
tells us we have to stop.
Hide in the deep secret part of the bunker. Yeah, we're looking at a very warm day here in the Midwest, and so the typical pop-up thunderstorms that we get after a very warm and humid day. And believe me, it was warm and humid today here in central Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So, around the world, lots and lots of things to talk about. And boy, we're just going to try to cover as much ground as we can tonight in our
15 minutes.
We're using special time warp technology, by the way.
That's right.
Shoehorns 25 minutes into 15. You think it's 25 minutes for MP3 players.
But it's really only
15. So yeah, amazing how that goes.
It's new math.
Yeah. One of the things that we kind of talked about, gosh, what was this? We first talked about UG-99 a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wheat rust?
Wheat rust. It's back in the news again, and scientists are starting to take notice of this. It's something that is very worrying. If you're not familiar with it, it's a strain of wheat rust against which modern agriculture has no defense at this point. Mm-hmm. And it is spreading from Africa into Central Asia, which is bad because there are areas of Central Asia, like Kazakhstan, that are as much a breadbasket as the heartland of the United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, the spores go on the wind, and
right.
I mean, there's a lot of wind out there.
Yeah.
Just like there is here, and that is why I find it a little concerning that there are now American scientists who are ag scientists who are studying this wheat rust here in the United States, and I don't know how they could study it unless they're studying it on wheat crops, and you can only do so much in a laboratory. You have to, at some point, have a little garden of wheat.
Right. And how do you keep it enclosed within that? Yeah, it's potential for trouble. We talked about the possibilities there when we talked with Kate Ayola about the research done on hoof and mouth, foot and mouth at Plum Island and the danger of moving it to the heartland, which is going to happen. The National Bio and Agro Defense Facility is going up in Manhattan, Kansas. K-State, the big winner there. Or loser, perhaps. We pray not. Now, how dangerous is this wheat rust? Well, according to scientists, up to 80% of the world's wheat crop could be destroyed if this stuff goes really viral.
So let me get this straight. We've got weather that's keeping the fuel production down.
Global cooling!
I mean, the crop production down. Mm-hmm. We've got farmers who are broke and are going out of business, so crop production is down. We have biofuels that are sucking up the products off the fields, and therefore we have less to eat. Now wheat rust comes along.
Yeah, and could destroy the rest. Yeah, now, does this make any sense at all as we see people starving in other parts of the world that we are growing food just so we can burn it in our gas tanks? Does that make any sense to you?
Money to burn!
That is completely
mind-boggling. Well, you and I have been saying this all along, that's stupid. That's just, it's silly. There are many other ways to run your cars. In fact, buy a bike.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you really feel that strongly about it. But yeah, biofuel is not the way to go, especially when you consider that when you produce these so-called green fuels, you actually use more petroleum than you yield from the green fuels.
Exactly. These things have to be, it's crazy talk. I got an email from a listener while we're talking about this stuff, and I want to thank Tracy for sending this to us. Mystery worms invade Northwest China.
Oh, mystery worms.
Mystery worms, yes, indeed. A species of worm is unknown, and samples of the one-inch-long critters have been sent to Xinjiang Agriculture University for further study. The farmers have fled the worst plague to befall this area in 3 decades, taking some 20,000 head of livestock with them. The affected section lies in northwest China's Xinjiang region, which is about 175 miles west of the Xinjiang capital of Urumqi. And says here that it's got a picture of these ugly critters. I mean, I'm going to show it to you. Want Sam?
Yeah. Oh. That looks like something, from a bad 1950s horror movie.
It looks like something out of Dune.
Yeah, sandworm, yeah.
Yeah, it does. It really does, but you know, it's not a laughing matter. These worms are eating anything that's green. They are stripping everything. And they're even showing up in the homes. Quotes one of the farmers, "The pasture was green a week ago, but now the worms are creeping around, and they even come into my house. I have to sweep them out several times an hour." This sounds like, you know, an Egyptian plague.
Hmm. It kind of does. According to the, you know, I'm looking at the article here, that there are up to 3,000 of these per square yard. 3,000 of these per square yard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of worms.
Mm-hmm. I think it actually says per square meter, but that's
essentially, well, a yard is close to a meter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Essentially the same area. 3,000 of them, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And if you've got anything green there, within the matter of minutes, it's like, you know, wormy piranhas or something.
Yeah, they just destroy and just eat the whole things. And apparently, this is the really weird thing, is that the scientists have not yet identified what species of worm, what species of critter this is.
Well, they're assuming they're going to turn into a moth or something, but clearly they haven't been in numbers like this ever before, so... This could be something brand new, and if it moves around in China, if this is something that goes elsewhere, this
probably
is
related to the weather. Probably related to the weather.
It probably is. The weather change, they dropped out of the sky.
Yeah,
they're aliens. I'm going to talk about blackjack.
You've been doing more reading on that, yeah.
Unless you had something.
No, nothing. Nothing as important as blackjack.
I spent the whole day on that forum. I'll tell you what, that website, it keeps changing and changing. And I hope I'm able to laugh when this is all over, when the dates of June 21st, 22nd, 23rd, mm-hmm. when those have passed and nothing has happened. I hope we're still laughing. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
It's been like a puzzle hunt, almost like playing a role playing game. But it's not a game, I'm afraid. Someone out there, at the very least, is being deceptive. At the very least. I don't care if this is a viral marketing campaign or not. Mm-hmm. This is being presented as a real terrorist underground plan, and they're frightening a lot of people.
Yeah, there are certain things you don't do when you're in media, in broadcasting. I learned very early in my radio career that there were certain things you just didn't say on the air, even in jest, because... it wasn't worth, because you have a certain amount of public trust that you have to treat with care.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't joke about, for example, the death of a celebrity, or hoax people about an illness or something like that, mm-hmm. for the purpose of getting
sympathy.
Well,
David Letterman knows that there are things you can't say.
Yes.
That's too many of them. But this blackjack thing, jackblack12.info is mm-hmm. the site, and mm-hmm. it keeps changing. Last night we gave you an extension to that, but just put in jackblack12.info because the extension is changing throughout the day, and the old ones disappear. You can no longer get there if you use the old ones, so you have to use just the root URL. This is a real. There have been photos, there have been codes in Base64, and codes in binary, and codes in hexadecimal. I mean, you name it, they've been up there. And bless their hearts, the people on the forum, and it's David Icke's forum. I mean, come on.
the reptilian guy? Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? These people, they're great. I got to give them their due. They're really good little puzzle solvers. It's davidicke.com, and the forum, it's under Blackjack Hexadecimal Code thread. It's already over 100 pages long. I mean, this thread is long, and people on here following what's going on this website, trying to figure out the clues that are in mm-hmm. the pictures, because the clues at the pictures at the Telegraph and the slideshow have lots and lots of clues embedded within them.
Hmm.
There are hidden things on the website you have to actually highlight to get some of the, because it's black text on black background, and you have to get it highlighted to see that it's there. A lot of the codes that have been translated have been there. There is a Shakespeare code going on throughout the day. Shakespeare names for some of the bomb sites, Shakespeare phrases from plays that go with the pictures from the bomb sites, the projected bomb sites. And if you want to know what I mean by that, if you watch the slideshow at the Telegraph, you'll see a map of all of the places that were bombed in this fictional scenario. But here's what I want to talk about. One of the things that happens very early on is that the MI5, which is the equivalent of our CIA or NSA or whatever you want to call it, Homeland Security, all rolled up into one, the spy agency, that a call goes into MI5 and MI5 learns about what's about to happen. Today, at YouTube, someone calling himself Jason posted a YouTube video of his phone call to MI5.
Tipping them off to what's going on?
Tipping them off to what's going on. And this young man could well be just somebody who is terrified, has been reading the forums, and just thought, good heavens, is no one going to call this in? But it was called in almost precisely at the same time that it would have been called in the fictional scenario. And I can't help but think, Jason, the Jason Society, part of the Illuminati, you know, and he wasn't asked for his last name. So I'm even thinking, was this even a real phone call or was the whole thing staged? Because the woman on the other line, while she was polite and sort of disbelieving, she didn't ask for, it was toward the very end, she said, may I have your name, please? And he said, my name is Jason. She didn't ask for a last name. She didn't ask for address or any of this stuff.
Well, they probably already knew that anyway.
Well, that's very, very likely. But, you know, anyway, so if this is a genuine call, good on him for phoning it in. But it's so curious, the name and the timing.
So if this is a hoax, it is a very elaborate and very clever hoax. It is a very, there's some intelligence going into this. The guys who are creating this, and I've not had the opportunity to sit down and really go through this as much
as you would
have
gotten lost in this today. I mean, lost in as in,
you know how
so
I get
drawn in.
Yeah, you know how I get when I get when I get onto something. I mean, that's why I don't play Strat-O-Matic baseball anymore. Had to give that up because it was getting in the way of college. But that's how I get.
I know.
When I get into something that's really fascinating, a game or something, and that's why I stay away from a lot of video games too, because I've decided I like real life better. This is the kind of thing that, yeah, that would definitely have sucked me in. I could have lost an entire day or a couple of days to it. And obviously a lot of people have.
Oh, yeah. There are people in here keep saying, I should be in bed. I haven't slept in 2 days now. You know, but I can't stop, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Many of these people, they're simply following the puzzles because they're intrigued by them. They simply like solving the puzzles.
Yeah.
Others are in here because they're really,
really
afraid
scared.
Something is about to happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep watch through the weekend, as we know you will. Come Monday, we just pray that we can look back on this and say, well, nothing happened. It's apparently these guys just enjoy, you know, leading people around on a goose chase, a wild goose hunt, a snipe hunt, whatever you want to call it.
Have these going on, we've also got the missile sitting in North Korea that he's claiming he's going to lob at Hawaii. Well, let's see. Hello, Obama, your state where you supposedly were born. I'll just blow that out of the water.
And the ship that now is out in open water, and apparently the U.S. military trying to decide whether they want to get access to this North Korean vessel. Sounds like a provocation by one side or both sides.
And let's not forget, I think we talked about this last night, but let us not forget that Joe Biden said within 6 months. Well, we're within the six-month time window. He said within 6 months of taking office that Obama would be tested.
Would be tested, yep.
And Colin Powell said that he believed it would be I saw a video of him, and he literally in an interview said on the 21st or 22nd, he's going to be tested. Now, he meant January, but and he even said of January, in other words, within 1 or 2 days of taking office. But he said the 21st or 22nd. It's really interesting to me that he would make a statement like that and literally pick out the days. Now, could have just been off the top of the head. He was saying day one, he's going to be tested. But there are those who are saying January was code for June. Don't know.
Well, so while that is going on, just in case that if that all isn't enough to keep you awake tonight, we'll just add one more detail. The military has been conducting an inventory of the vials of deadly pathogens at Fort Detrick, which is the site of AMRID, which is the military's research mm-hmm. into infectious diseases. It's also a bioweapons laboratory. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Back in February, they said, okay, we've got 66,000 items in our database. We've now cataloged everything, and maybe a few things missing, but nothing dangerous. Don't worry about it. Well, comes word now that they've discovered another 9,200 vials that were in drawers and freezers that they didn't know that they had. They were not included in this inventory of 66,000. What this means is, if they didn't know that they had these, they don't know how many they were supposed to have out of these 92.
Okay. They did an inventory. Mm-hmm. At the end, they had too much stuff. Usually an inventory says,
We're missing things.
We don't have enough stuff.
Right.
They have too much stuff. And about, what would we figure out? About 10%, 12% of their inventory?
More than 12%.
15, 16?
Almost 15.
Percent of their inventory is not in the database. But it's old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes no sense to me, because when you do your database initially, mm-hmm. seems like the old stuff would go in there first.
It would, you would think.
Yeah.
Some of these vials are up to 50 years old. No, they date back to the Korean War. And we're talking vials of things like Ebola, anthrax, botulinum. I say potato. Venezuelan equine encephalitis and tularemia. Now, tularemia,
is that the rabbit fever?
Yes, that's what it is. That's what's in these vials. But again, they didn't know that they had these when they completed the inventory back in February. Suddenly, these additional 9,000 plus vials turn up. How many were there originally? Were there 10,000?
They have no way of knowing if any of that inventory is correct.
That is what it boils down to. They have no way of knowing how accurate this inventory is, how much stuff is missing. And the lieutenant commander of the base said, well, we can't say that nothing left the lab, but I can say we think it's extremely unlikely that things were left the lab. Aww. So, you know, we've got... take his word as true. We don't know that anything left the lab. But the point is, they don't know if anything left the lab either.
We've got a couple of years ago stuff that's leaked to the internet.
And a couple of years ago, the San Francisco Chronicle reported on this over 600 pounds of missing plutonium from Los Alamos in New Mexico.
And giant dachshunds running amok.
Yeah, well, that's a result of that missing plutonium.
Actually, though, there is a...
Anyone who's watched 50 Bucks, giant grasshoppers and ants roaming all...
you found a story that actually does get to giants.
Yeah.
It's that story next to Discovery Near Stonehenge.
It's the Discovery Near Stonehenge. National Geographic is reporting that tombs, which were discovered during an aerial mapping survey in the U.K., revealed what appeared to be crop circles in southern England, where none had been discovered before. But what they actually were geographic locations, detail underneath the soil, mm-hmm. basically depressing or suppressing plant growth. Mm-hmm. The soil is thinner there, so plants don't grow as well or whatever. So you've got these giant circles, which when archaeologists went in and examined this site, discovered that they were... giant tombs, some as large as 230 feet long, tombs called barrows, long barrows, tombs topped by mounds, similar to what the mound builders did, mm-hmm. all over the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here in the U.S., of course, we know about Cahokia out near St. Louis.
Let me tell you, when you told me about this,
this site is about 500 acres in all, and it's only about 15 miles away from Stonehenge. And it's older than Stonehenge by about 1,000 years.
It's about 6,000 years old.
About 6,000 years old, yes.
When you told me about this afternoon, I said, well, it must be Gog and Magog. And you looked at me like I had snakes growing off my head. And you said, what?
Yeah, I only knew the biblical Gog and Magog, yeah.
Gog and Magog are sometimes known as Gog, Magog, and Coronaeus, are descended from the pagan giants. I'm reading off of the LordMayorsShow.org. They're descended from the pagan giants of early English pageantry, and their origins lie in ancient legends of Britain's beginning. The story goes that Diocletian, the Roman emperor, had 33 wicked daughters. Uh-huh. He managed to find 33 husbands to curb their unruly ways, but the daughters were not pleased. And under the leadership of their eldest sister, Alba, they plotted to cut the throats of their husbands as they slept.
That happened a lot in Britain. That's what happened when the Saxons took over, too.
Sweeney Todd, he was getting
and Sweeney Todd, yeah.
Watched that last night. For this crime, they were set adrift in a boat with half a year's rations, and after a long and dreadful journey, they arrived at the islands which came to be called Albion, after the oldest daughter. And here they stayed, and by coupling with demons, they populated that wild, windswept island with a race of giants.
Now, Diocletian died in the 3rd century, so it's not likely that this
No,
is...
probably not. But yeah. I think it's interesting that they've got a mythology of giants living there, and that they literally have statues called Gog and Magog.
Yeah. That is interesting. You're right, because wouldn't it be funny if these two giant tombs actually turn out to be the burial place of Gog and Magog? Who knew? We thought it was a joke.
Yeah, that chalk drawing of the giant didn't know it was life size.
Well, once again, we've managed to shoehorn far more than 15 minutes into our 15-minute show. It's the longest 15-minute show on the internet, by the way.
And our listeners would agree.
Yes. A couple of things to point out. Just a couple of announcements, I guess we'd call these. The CDs from the Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural Conference are now available. That was the conference that took place on the 6th of June. Lynn Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, and Gary Ka over in Ohio. We'll put a link to the site where you can pick those up. If you missed the conference and want to hear the presentations, it is 5 CDs in all, I believe. And again, we'll put a link in the show notes.
That's
at PIDradio.com. It is. And this weekend, we will kick off an interview program, which is designed to complement PID Radio, but we're giving it a different name because we don't want to, you know, we just wanted to have, I guess, a different identity. PID Radio will continue to be the two of us sitting and talking and opining in our unique style, Regis and Kelly style, and the interview program.
It's a cooking show.
To serve man. The interview program will be called View from the Bunker, and not intended to be... flippant.
Our bunker is a bedroom.
Yeah. So not intended to be flippant, but just I guess maybe a tongue-in-cheek title. But anyway, this weekend we'll be talking to John Wilkerson, the Jesus Geek, about his podcasting for water and what he does there in providing good information about tech stuff for the faithful, and also talk to Christian author Frank Creed, who writes in a style he refers to as Christian cyberpunk.
Ooh.
Yeah, imagine The Matrix, but with a Christian worldview.
I think your show sounds exciting. I can't wait to hear it. I really
well, it won't be a whole lot different from what we've done before. It won't be a whole lot different from what you know, just the interview shows we've done. Mm-hmm. But we like doing this show, and we didn't want to try to jam interviews into what we're doing here. So anyway, we'll do that and see how you like it. So we'll have links to that at PIDradio.com as well. So
there you go. You can throw virtual tomatoes at us.
That's right. And you can throw the electronic bouquets and brickbats to radio at peeringintodarkness.com and go on the forum and opine to your heart's content. You'll find the link to the Piercing the Darkness forum at PIDradio.com.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And we're there under PID Radio. We're there under our individual names. And like I said, join us. Add us as friends. We're friendly.
That's right. Hey, have a wonderful weekend. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
Happy Father's Day to everybody.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye.
Edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.